Well, good morning. So glad that you're here to worship Jesus with us this morning. Every week we talk about our mission, our vision, and purpose here at Northridge. And just in case you don't remember it, it's connecting in community with Jesus and each other. And our passion is to help you to grow, to trust and follow Jesus with your whole life. We're celebrating our 10-year anniversary, and you've seen the videos over the last few weeks. And I just want to let you know that you are part of the family. You are part of the community here, and we want to help you grow in your faith. So wherever you're at in your faith journey, we're there with you. We're all sinners who are passionate about following Jesus, and we want to help you in that journey as well. If you're new here, we'd like to get to know you a little bit better. And the process to do that is to fill out the Connect card that's on the back of your worship program. Fill it out with as much information as you're willing to give us. Bring it back to the information table. We have a small gift for you, and then we'll make a connection with you to see how your experience was here at Northridge and see if there's any questions that you have about what it means to be a part of the church here. Hey, I want to invite you to hang around after church today because we're going to celebrate our 10-year anniversary with cupcakes. And let me tell you, you're not going to want to miss these cupcakes. Joel's wife, Pam, made these cupcakes, and if you've never had Pam's cupcakes, you have to stick around and celebrate with us. That's what the balloons are for. So we're celebrating 10 years here at Northridge, and that means we're celebrating you. We're celebrating what it means to be a part of the spiritual family here. So stick around and have some fun, some coffee and some cupcakes with us as well. So we're in the last week of our message series called Thrive. And we've been talking about what it means to thrive in our faith. The definition that we've been looking at for thrive is that it means to grow or to develop vigorously, to progress toward or realize a goal despite our circumstances, and to flourish. Proverbs 11:28, again in the Message version, says, a God-shaped life thrives like a flourishing tree. God wants you and your life to thrive like a flourishing tree. As Christians, our goal is to progress toward or to realize is to grow in our faith as disciples of Jesus. I want to remind you that when Jesus called his first disciples in Matthew 4:19, he said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And from that invitation from Jesus, we get sort of a job description or a definition of what it means to be a disciple. We've been talking about this the last few weeks, that a disciple is someone who follows Jesus, who is changed or transformed by Jesus, and someone who is committed to the mission of Jesus. And as we look in the Gospels, we see the disciples, the first followers of Jesus, learning from him, being changed by him, and being sent on a mission by Jesus. As believers, we are also disciples of Jesus. We're called to follow him, we're called to be transformed by him, and we're also called to be sent on his mission. And so as we read the gospel stories, as we see the experiences of the first disciples, we learn about what our mission is and what we are sent to do by Jesus. When Jesus was asked by the Pharisees, what is the most important thing? What is the one thing that I need to do? What's the most important of all the commandments and the things that I'm called to do? What's the most important? Jesus said in Mark 12, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. In the upper room, before Jesus was betrayed and crucified, Jesus took a bowl of water and a towel and went around the room and started to wash the disciples' feet. A job reserved for slaves, Jesus took on the servant role. And then he said to his disciples in John 13, since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. In other words, go and serve other people. Go and humble yourself and be a servant to other people. Show that other people are important. He also told the disciples what His mission was. In Luke 19, verse 10, Jesus said, "The Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost." And we see that Jesus, when He was praying in John 17, said, "In the same way, Father, that You gave Me a mission in the world, I give them a mission in the world." And Jesus trained His disciples to carry on His mission. After Jesus was raised from the dead, the disciples were hiding in the upper room. They were afraid of the Jewish leaders. And Jesus appeared to them and said in John 20, 21, "Just as the Father sent Me, so I am sending you." And then later, before Jesus ascended back into heaven, He gave them what we know as the Great Commission. In Matthew 28, He said, "Go and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you." The Father sent Jesus on a mission to this earth to seek and to save the lost, to serve people and ultimately sacrifice His life for other people. And Jesus is sending us as His disciples on the same mission. So if we want to take all of that information and boil it down to a simple mission statement that Jesus gives us as His disciples, as His followers, as His believers, it's this. Our mission is to love God, love others, and go make disciples. Love God, love others, go make disciples. It's a simple statement and yet very profound and a high calling that Jesus gives us. As believers and disciples, we are sent into the world. That's what the word mission means. It means to be sent. We are the sent ones of Jesus. We are sent into the world to seek and to save the lost. We're sent into the world to love and to serve people by making them into followers and disciples. So what's it going to take? What's it going to take for us to take our job description, our responsibility as believers and disciples, what's it going to take for us to take that seriously? What's it going to take for us to get on the mission, to be committed to this mission that Jesus has given to us of loving God, loving others, and going to make disciples? Well, let's take a look at a story in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, a story of the first disciples and what they did when Jesus called them. So this morning, if you don't have your Bible, well, it'll be on the screen. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It says, "One day, as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, crowds pressed in on Him to listen to the Word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, later called Peter, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and he taught the crowds from there. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, 'Now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish.' 'Master,' Simon replied, 'we have worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let down the nets again.' And this time their nets were so full of fish they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, 'Oh, Lord, please leave me. I'm too much of a sinner to even be around you.' For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. And Jesus replied to Simon, 'Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people.' And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus." So the story begins after a night of bad fishing. The disciples are doing the mundane task of washing, cleaning their nets, mending them, and preparing them for the next night that they were going to go out. And as they're doing that, a crowd gathers and begins to press in on Jesus. And so he turns to Peter and he says, "Hey, can I use your boat?" And he gets into Peter's boat and he pushes out a little ways from the shore and he begins to teach the people. Now imagine, while he's teaching people from Peter's boat, he's on the side, maybe cleaning and mending his nets and potentially listening to what Jesus has to say. Maybe he's a little challenged by what Jesus has to say about faith and what it means to follow him and live in the kingdom and be a part of the spiritual family. Then Jesus challenges him directly. The rabbi tells the fishermen to go out and where to cast his nets. And Peter is hesitant, because morning is not the right time to fish on the Sea of Galilee. And they were probably tired. Tired from fishing all night. Tired from cleaning and fixing their nets. Probably had them all cleaned and fixed and put away. And now Jesus says, "Hey, bring them back out. Let's try this again." And Peter really doesn't want to. But he says, "Okay, Lord, because you say so, we'll try it." And he listens. He takes a risk. And he's rewarded with the experience of an incredible miracle, a work of God. If you think about it, look from Peter's perspective. That Peter went from the shore, listening to Jesus, to out a little bit into shallow water, and eventually into deep water. Peter was challenged. His faith was challenged. And he moved from the shore to deeper water and experienced a miracle of God. So my question for all of us today is, where are we standing? Are we on the shore? Maybe we're still standing on the shore, kind of listening to Jesus and kind of wondering, working on our own little thing, whatever our nets are. Or maybe you've moved into shallow water and you're paying a little bit more attention to what Jesus has to say. And maybe, just maybe, it's time for all of us to take the next step in our spiritual journey, in our faith, to go deeper and let down our nets and see what Jesus can do. After this amazing miracle, the disciples left everything to follow Jesus. It's a simple story, and I believe that Jesus uses this story to show us what it means to be a disciple who is committed to following Jesus in his mission. So this morning I want to share with you a few biblical principles from this story about what it means to be committed to the mission with Jesus. So if you're following along on your outline this morning, a disciple commits to the mission through surrender. Surrender. I don't know if you caught this, but in the story it says that Peter was the owner of the boat. Peter was the owner of the boat. Now, if you own a boat, there's a certain amount of control that you want, right? It's yours. You want to take care of it. You don't just lend it out to anybody. And Jesus asks Peter if he can use his boat. Peter lets him. Peter gives up control of his boat. First, it's just to use it to preach from. And then eventually, Peter lets Jesus take total control, steering the boat, telling him where to go and where to fish. This is a pretty amazing thing, right? That Peter kind of surrenders control. He lets Jesus direct him and his life and tell him what to do. See, if we want to be on the mission of Jesus, we must surrender control of our lives. We must be directed by Jesus in every part of our life. We must be willing to let Jesus direct us, to show us where to go, what to do. We must give up the ownership of our stuff. We must give him total control of our things and our being and what we do and everything in order to be on the mission for him. Peter humbled himself. He submitted and gave total control. He surrendered all of his decision making to Jesus in this moment, if we want to be actively involved in Jesus' mission, we must let Him have total control over all of our lives. What is it that you need to give up control of in order to be on the mission of Jesus? Busyness is a big problem in our lives. Maybe Jesus is calling you to surrender some of your time. Maybe Jesus is calling you to surrender some of your things, to use them to help in the building the kingdom, to help in the mission. Jesus' request for Peter to go back out was at the total wrong time to catch fish. It might have even been totally inconvenient for Peter, but he gives up his time. He gives up his things and allows Jesus to use them for His sake. The disciples then surrendered themselves and their stuff to follow Jesus in mission. Now look, I don't think that God is calling all of us to totally give up our jobs, to give up all of our stuff, to follow Jesus, to be a missionary somewhere. But God is definitely calling all of us to be a missionary where He has planted us. Whether it's at work or at school or in your neighborhood, God is calling you to that mission. Think about this. Anytime you meet a new person, one of the first questions they ask you is, "Hey, what do you do? What's your job? What's your vocation?" And you share with them what your job is. "I'm a pastor," or I work at John Deere," or "I'm an engineer," or whatever it is. What if we turned that perspective around, and the very first thing that we thought of was that I am a child of God. I am a disciple of Jesus. I am called to be on His mission. What if we thought about it from that perspective, and that would be our first priority, our number one vocation is that we are disciples on a mission, that we are ambassadors for Jesus wherever we are, and that our second primary calling is our job. I think one of the biggest reasons that we're still standing on the shore instead of being actively involved in the mission of Jesus is that we're not willing to relinquish control of our lives to Jesus. We're not willing to give Jesus our stuff, our time. We're not willing to surrender those things in order to do what Jesus is calling us to do. Look, wherever God has placed you, that's your mission field. The people around you at school or work or in your neighborhood are the people that God is sending you to. We must be willing to surrender control of our lives in order to be used by God on His mission. So the first step in mission of following Jesus is to surrender control to Him. Secondly, a disciple commits to the mission through faith. Notice that after the miraculous catch, Peter turns to Jesus and says, "Get away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." Now, here's the interesting part about that. That word that Jesus, when Peter acknowledges to Jesus that he's a sinful man, that word that's used there for sinful is the word hamartalos, which means to miss the mark. Peter stands before Jesus and he says, "Wait a minute, Jesus. I've totally missed the mark in my life. I've totally missed it. I'm not worthy to be a part of being a disciple or a follower. I'm not worthy to even be a witness to what you just did." It's important to know and understand that the reason that Peter is out fishing is because it's a family business. It's a family business, and Peter is out working because he never met the standard for being a disciple for one of the other rabbis. He wasn't picked. He wasn't good enough. And Peter reminds Jesus of that. He says, "Get away from me. I've totally missed the mark. I'm not worth it. I'm not able to be a disciple. I'm not able to even have a relationship with you." But Jesus continues because He shows Peter that He loves him, He forgives him, and that He has value, that He has worth. And Jesus tells Peter to follow Him, to be His disciple. And Peter shows faith by being willing to be used by Jesus despite his weaknesses. Think about this. We're called to be disciples. We're called to be disciples who are on a mission. And a lot of times the biggest thing that keeps us from being on the mission for Jesus is fear and self-worth. I have a lot of people that tell me, "Oh, Pastor Doug, it's really just not my gift. I can't, really don't know what I'm doing or how to do it." Look, Jesus chose Peter. Peter even willingly acknowledged that he missed the mark. "I'm not the right guy, Jesus. I don't understand." And yet, in the end, Peter, there's something about Jesus that draws Peter to follow him and to go on that mission. And I really believe that as Peter watched what Jesus did, he was in awe of who Jesus was. He was in awe of how much Jesus loved and cared for him and forgave him. That he couldn't help but being willing to follow Jesus and commit to the mission. Following Jesus and be committed to his mission is all about faith. It's not about knowing and being perfect or knowing how to share the gospel or whatever it is that is keeping you from doing that. Peter said to Jesus, "I don't match up. I don't meet the standard. I can't do it. I missed the mark." And Jesus loved him anyway and called him to follow him. And we know that Jesus used Peter to help build the church. Just as Peter expressed faith and just as Jesus used him to reach other people, he can do the same thing for you. Look, you're not going to get any sympathy from me. I'm just an old garbage man, right? So God called me to do this and I'm obedient. I'm not good at this. This isn't perfect, right? But God doesn't call us to be perfect. He just calls us to be obedient. That's what faith is all about. So I want to challenge you today that you should know that you're a disciple, you're a follower of Jesus, and that you're on the mission of Jesus, and that takes faith. That means being willing to take that next step. Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid." And then in the end, he promised that he would always be with us. You see, in order to thrive as disciples on the mission of Jesus, we must be willing to take that step of faith, to go deeper in our relationship with him and to be used by him in his mission. Lastly, a disciple commits to the mission through intentionality. Intentionality. We must be intentional about reaching out and making disciples of all people. So there's a kind of a misunderstanding of what it means to make disciples. When we think about making disciples, we think about sitting down and preaching God's word to people and praying with people, maybe leading them to Jesus or whatever it is. And that's important too, don't get me wrong. But what I think making disciples is all about is living life together. Meeting people right where they're at in their life and in their faith and their spiritual journey and walking alongside of them. Building a trusting relationship with them so you can love them, serve them, challenge and encourage them in their spiritual journey wherever they're at. Isn't that what Jesus did? When we look at when Jesus called the first disciples, were they automatically saved or did they become saved and regenerated later on? As they followed Jesus, they saw more and more of Jesus. And as they did that, they gave their life to him. And eventually we know that they were sent out on the mission and gave their lives to follow and commit to the mission of Jesus. We too must be committed to building relationships with other people, with the intentionality of spiritually mentoring each other through life. It's about walking with Jesus together by faith. See, my problem, our problem, is that too often our lives revolve around ourselves. How can we be committed to Jesus' mission of making disciples when we're always doing things for ourselves? Paul says it this way to the Philippians in chapter 2, verse 4. He says, "Don't only look out for your own interests, take an interest in others too." And I think that a great way to do that, to be genuinely interested in other people, is to intentionally look for ways that you can be a blessing to them. So this morning I want to share with you simple ways that you can bless other people. The first way is to begin with prayer. If you want to have an impact in the life of somebody else, start praying for them. See, I think too often we think, what can I do for them? How can I say something to them? But we start on step three instead of step one. Step one is to start with prayer. Prayer is powerful. When we begin to pray for people, God starts to open the doors. So pray that God would begin to work in their heart. Pray that God would create a spiritual curiosity in them. Pray that God would give you an opportunity to build a relationship with them. So bless other people by beginning to pray for them. The second one, L, is listen. Take time when you're praying for them to listen to the Holy Spirit. What is God saying to you about that person? Seek guidance from God on how you can love and serve them. And then listen to them. Listen to their stories. Take time out during your day, during your week, to meet with them, just to listen to their story. Just to ask them about who they are and what life is like for them. In your casual conversations, ask them about their hopes, their challenges. Listen for things that you have in common, and listen for things that you can pray for them. Then what you do is you write them down, so that when you pray for them on a regular basis, you have something specific to pray for. And that way you can continue to relate with them. You can ask them in the next conversation, hey, last time we talked about this, how's that going? It shows them that you care and that they are important to you. Next is my favorite and probably the most important. Take time to eat together. When you look at the early church, what did they do? They spent a lot of time just sharing fellowship and eating together. Look, I want to tell you, growing up for me, the most important discipleship time of our day, of our week, was the dinner table. And what have we eliminated from everything in our families lately? Time to meet for dinner. That is the most important time as families for us to gather together, to love each other, to share life together, and even to disciple each other. Growing up, we read the Bible and we prayed at every meal. We talked about what it meant to know and to follow Jesus with our lives. For some reason, that has just been pushed off in our lives today. So as a family, eat together. At work, at school, who is it that you can spend time with at lunch? Just to get to know them. Just to get to understand who they are and maybe pray for them. In Romans 12, verses 13 and 16 in the Living Bible, it says, get into the habit of inviting guests home for dinner. Enjoy the company of ordinary people. How great is it that we could potentially even be an example to our children by inviting people over to eat, our neighbors, our friends, showing them what it means to share life together. The next one is to serve. See, once you have prayed for and spent some time talking with, listening to your friends, neighbors, coworkers, students, friends, whatever it is, then you have the opportunity to serve them. Ask God, what is it? What one simple thing can I do to show my neighbor that I care about them? The next one is story. Bless someone by listening to their story, by sharing your story, and eventually sharing the story of God. You see, we are all on this spiritual journey together. And our stories fit into God's story of redemption. And once we can learn to share that, to share it together, once people know and understand that our story is similar to their story, we're all broken by sin, we all need the love and grace of God, we can make that connection. So the blessing strategy will help you build trusting relationships. It will allow you to live life together in an intentional way, a way of getting to know them. And it is discipleship. Our mission is to be ambassadors for Jesus, representing Him, sharing His story of redemption, and inviting people to become His followers as well. We must be intentional about the mission that Jesus calls us in making disciples. It's time for us to take seriously the call of Jesus to live our lives as disciples who are committed to His mission. We simply cannot be believers or disciples without being on the mission with Jesus and with each other. If we're going to thrive as disciples, if we're going to thrive as a church, we must be on the mission that God has called us to. Love God, love others, and go make disciples. Let's pray together. Lord, we just ask that You would help us to take seriously the mission that You have called us to. Lord, like Peter, we don't feel like we measure up. We don't feel like it's something that we can do. But help us to take that next step of faith and to trust You. Lord, I pray that You would put on our hearts and minds the blessed strategy and who it is that we can bless throughout our daily lives. To take time to make connections with people and introduce them to You. Lord, we thank You for what You've done for us. We pray that in our relationship with You, You would overflow from us into the world so that we can make disciples. Help us to love You, to love others, and to go make disciples. In the name of Jesus, amen.